The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris, and this is the show where we focus on building legacy wealth through buy and hold real estate. That's the vehicle that we use. Now, very often, I'll get individuals that will write and say, look, I have no experience. I have no money. I've got a lot of hurdles in front of me, but I want to get started creating legacy wealth. So where do I start? Well, if you've been following this show for a while, you'll remember a guest that we've had on twice before, early episode and sort of mid-level episode. His name was Pablo Fernandez, and he was from the United Kingdom, and he had no experience. He had no money, and Pablo had reached out to me about a year or so ago and said, look, I would love to figure out how to do this, and I want to take action and make this happen. And so we had Pablo on the first time we had him on to talk about his experience and say, you know, sort of set the stage on where he was in his life, his financial situation, and what goals that he wanted to achieve in real estate investing. I gave him some action items, and guess what? He followed through on those action items. And we did another episode where he said, look, I've now been able to get private financing. I've lined up a number of things. I'm ready to take action. Well, guess what? Today is episode number 3, and I'm thrilled to have Pablo back on the show because we've got a major announcement in Pablo's journey. I've had so many people emailing me, wanted to know, how is Pablo doing? Well, guess what? You're going to get your answers today. Pablo, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Clayton.
Well, it's a real treat to have you back on the show, and I often bring up your journey as an example when people sort of get down on themselves, don't have the stomach to continue, or scared, fearful, think that they don't have what it takes to become a real estate investor. I say, have you listened to Pablo's journey? Because Pablo's done it.
Yeah, that was my goal. I thought it was going to be a bit of a journey, and I wanted to be an example.
So for our audience who's not familiar with your story, if you're just coming into the podcast and you haven't listened to Pablo's first two episodes, first of all, shame on you. You've got to go back and listen to Pablo's first two episodes because it really lays out his journey when we first spoke. But Pablo, give us like the Cliff Notes version of where you were about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when you reached out to me.
So I am a tech entrepreneur. I co-founded a series of startups, and so far none made it very big. So I wanted to start having my eggs in multiple baskets, and property seemed like a very good basket to put my eggs in. But I was coming with no experience, no money, pretty much nothing to this new world. I listened to your podcast for some time, and I really like your approach to it. It makes a lot of sense to go by the numbers. And I've been learning. I've been interacting with the local community in the local property community in London where I live, which is very different to what I hear you experience in the US as well.
Right. And so you then at that point reached out to me. We laid out a sort of a series of action steps early on, which was, you know, we wanted, obviously you didn't have the cash in order to invest. So you're going to have to be creative. You're going to have to make those partnerships. And so you started, I believe you reached out and went to some local real estate meetings in order to get some funding together, correct?
Yes, actually, my first attempt was to get funding from banks. And so I attempted to get a loan from a bank that was backed by my salary, which was enough to pay back the loan. But since my plan was to buy property, they just denied it. And if my plan was to just expend it all on a holiday, they would have said yes. But they did not like the idea of me buying property, even though.
So they would have been happy about you spending it on a vacation.
Yes. It was a small amount, so I could just pay it from my salary. But no, if you're going to buy a cash generating property, no, you're not allowed to have that loan. It was hilarious.
That's amazing. And you were doing that. You were trying to raise money with the banks at the time in the United Kingdom. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So describe for us what the real estate market looks like in London. I mean, and we hear it often as one of the most expensive cities in the world. Is that where you kind of first attempted to look at investing in real estate?
So I did look around a little bit. It is very expensive. So doing anything will require a lot of money. So I didn't attempt to do anything in the local market because it's so far from what I can. The return of investment in properties in London, you might get up to 5% if you're lucky.
Net? Are you talking net ROI or gross ROI?
Gross ROI.
Gross ROI? So almost like you're running a negative.
Yes. I.
Wow.
So everybody complains how expensive it is to rent in London, but I actually think it's rather cheap. So I actually got a good deal in a house that I was renting, and I was literally paying 3% per year of the value of the house. So there's no way you can run a rental business on that margin, if there's any margin. It's a negative margin. So it's a great market for flipping. It might be coming to an end, but you could buy a property, sit on it for 3 months, sell it again, and get profit. It was insane.
Well, wow. Well, in the United States, we went through something similar to that. It was called the crash of 2007.
Yes.
Right. So,
yes. Ours might be next year. We'll see. Hopefully not.
So you were starting to make those connections in London, went to some local real estate meetups, and started to, once banks proved to be a difficult road for you to go, you started to make those connections. And what were some of the action items that I had told you? So back in episode 50 was the first time we had you on the show, episode 50, and then episode 59 was episode 2. So there wasn't that much separation between those first two episodes when you really went out there and started taking some action. But what were some of the things you started to do after banks proved to be fruitful or futile?
Yes. I remember it was talking to several people and offering the deal of lending money to me to several people. I talked to a few people. It didn't, nothing came out of it, but it was very educational. But putting it out there, a friend that I never expected that he would be interested in doing this came up and say, "Oh, I have the money. Do you want it?" And so I really like one of the books that I had to read, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, or one of those, I don't remember. It says, like, talk to everybody. Like, when you're doing property, talk to everybody. Tell everybody what you're doing. Tell everybody what your deals are, and so on. You never know who it's going to come up with the other side of the deal for you.
Right.
And that's what happened to me. A friend that I never expected came up. It's like, okay, I have the money for the first deal. Let's do it.
It's amazing. And yeah, Gary Keller, Millionaire Real Estate Investor, reference it often here on the show. And that's also what Susan Lasseter Lyons talks about in her book, Getting the Money. We had Susan on for episode 34, and we talked about the power of private money. And she teaches you how to just, you know, she first of all teaches you how to present yourself, but also how to go up to and have these discussions with private money lenders in order to get money. And so that's what you did. You started talking to someone you didn't really think, wow, this person's going to have money. They said, I do. And then what? He asked you for deals or specifics on the deals. How did you present it to him?
So this person, so he knew I was going to do property deals. I offered him a certain interest percentage, and which was probably twice what he can get in the market. And that was pretty much, so this person completely trusted my due diligence of the property side of things. And when I offered him this interest rate, he was a bit amazed. And he told me after we closed the deal, he told me that I just solved a problem for him. Like he had the money in the bank in an account that was not even accruing the minimum interest that savings account generally give you. Like he was losing money, and it was in his to-do list to eventually find how to make his money work for him, but he was never getting around to it. So you can see it as him doing something for me by giving the money. But from his point of view, I'm doing something for him by making his money work without him having to do anything.
I love that. And that's what Susan Lasseter-Lyons talks about in episode 34. She says, you know, look, if you ask somebody, what are you making in the stock market? 3% return? Great. How would you like it if I could double that return? What do you think that person is going to tell you? Of course, they're going to say, sure, tell me more. And then you were able to present to him what real estate deals that you were going to do, and we were going to help you get those properties with our company. So you already had that in the can. You already knew what the returns would be. And then you were able to present to him this incredible ROI, this incredible interest rate above and beyond what he was getting in the stock market. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. And something else that I'm noticing, one of the advantages of not being in the U.S., that I'm going to have later on, is that I'm offering something backed by a foreign market. A lot of people that do have a certain amount of money, they already have loans and own properties and things like that in the UK. But they're afraid, like, what happens if the UK crashes? They want to distribute their risk to other places. So that's something that I can offer to them here in the UK.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, given Brexit and everything else that the European Union is facing, it's an opportunity for them to have some safe assets in the number one real estate market in the country, in the world, which is the United States. That's great. Today's episode is brought to you by Mac Weldon. What is Mac Weldon? Well, they make fantastic clothes, really smart design, premium fabrics, super simple to shop if you go to macweldon.com. But forget about all that for a second. I just want to talk to you about their pants. So I'm super lazy on the weekends. Yes, my wife, I swear to God, I just want to sit around in like some loungewear and some sweatpants. But I've had crappy sweatpants. In fact, the only pair of loungewear that I had with like these terrible sweatpants that shrunk, and I refused or just was too lazy to buy a new pair because we're men, right? I just don't think about it. I don't think about underwear, undershirts, and I'll literally wear them till they deteriorate and they'll fall apart in like little chunks of fabric. So they're being held together by duct tape or something. So I had this terrible pair of like loungewear that I would wear on the couch. And it was so bad that the elastic in the waist had fallen apart. So I would have to, when I got up to go to the bathroom and just walk around, I'd have to hold them up with my hand. Not only that, they shrunk so that they were high up on my calf as well. It's insane, right? It's ridiculous. The whole reason we got into real estate, though, was because we wanted to be able to spend more time with our family, kick back, relax. But I wanted to have some good pants. So I found out about Mac Weldon. I'd heard about them from a couple of my friends. So I went over and checked them out at macweldon.com. That's MacWeldon. And they have the pants that I was looking for. They have what's called the Sunday pant. I'm telling you, order one of these right now. You will not be upset. And it will be the best thing you've ever worn, the most comfortable lounge pants you've ever worn. So the Sunday pant, it's like, it almost looks like classy enough that I could wear it to Starbucks or like wear it to the mall and not be made fun of. And in fact, I'm actually thinking I might try to do that. Maybe I'll even share a picture of it on my Instagram account. Me walking around the mall in my Mac Weldon Sunday pants. They're super comfortable, fantastic fabrics, and they're going to last for a long, long time because they're designed well. They're made well. And it's better than anything you're wearing right now. I absolutely guarantee it. So they have fantastic stuff. Go over to macweldon.com. And guess what? Just for listening to this podcast, they want to give you 20% off. So just use the promo code Clayton. That's my name, Clayton. So when you go to macweldon.com, use the promo code Clayton. You'll get 20% off your order. I'm telling you, go and post, go grab the Sunday pant right now. Go buy it. And, you know, share us some pictures. Go ahead and email them in to us at the office. I want to see these things. And actually, maybe we should have a little contest. And we'll post them up on our Morris Invest Facebook page. If you send me the photos, I'll post them up there. I swear to you. The most ridiculous place that you go with these pants on, take a picture of yourself or have your spouse take a picture of you with these pants on, the Sunday pant, and I'll post them up on our Morris Invest Facebook page. And we'll see who can do the most outrageous. I'm going to wear mine. Maybe I'll even wear mine to the golf course. Check them out. Go to macweldon.com. Get 20% off right now using the promo code Clayton. And share your pictures with me, because I want to see them. Thanks, Mac Weldon. I love your pants. Okay, so once he says, wow, this is fantastic. You're solving a problem for me. Now you're able to double what I'm getting, you know, with my returns right now in the bank and in the stock market. That's fantastic. Then it took a little while. Now the onus was on you to set up some foreign bank accounts and all of those things. And we connected you with our team, which was able to help you start to move that ball down the court. I know you tried some different things at once. And so you had some kind of stops and starts with some different strategies, trying to set up bank accounts, LLCs, and that sort of thing. What did you learn during that journey? Because that seems to me, that was like the hardest part for you.
Yes, it was way harder than I expected. I remember my parents setting up a company in the US back in the 90s, and the world was a simpler place back then. Like, there was a lot of craziness around, like money laundering and terrorism and all of that. So I contacted the accountants. Oh, I forgot the name. The ones you recommended.
You mean with our Provision?
Yes,
Provision. Yeah. So you're working with a United States, Tom Wheelwright's company in Provision, who we wholeheartedly love and endorse. Absolutely.
Yes. So those were my first point. They gave me the structure of the company. So I'm going to have these three of limited companies to reduce liability. So I have one on the top, and then the companies that actually own the properties being owned by that one. And they're based in Wyoming. Because that's one of the states in which you pay the least amount of taxes for property in the US. That cost a bit of money. The accountants are not cheap, but they're really good. So I'm happy with that. Then I got the companies open with, I got some lawyers that could work with people abroad with no problem. That was important for me. Because I was abroad, again, it wasn't cheap. Like, I know you can just open the LLCs yourself, but I'm always scary of doing something wrong because I'm abroad. So I got the lawyers involved, and that was straightforward as well. The really, really, really hard part was to open the bank account.
Right.
I did not expect this to be so hard.
It is true. We've worked with a lot of international clients, and every one of them has like a different scenario, right? Maybe they have a wife that is from Virginia, or they've lived here and now they've moved to Australia, or they are, you know, moving to Canada. There's always, you can't fit everything into a nice little box. And so we were able to connect you with a member of our extended team, which was finally able to get you the United States bank account set up. But that took a long time figuring out, okay, this is what I need. These are the exact services that I need. I just need a bank account. I need an LLC set up. So you were setting up these different structures. Do you think that maybe you went a little too complicated? Maybe you set up a few extra layers of complexity for yourself or not?
So for owning one property, yes, this is way too complex. But my plan is not to own one property.
Right.
And one pattern that I've seen talking to people around property is that they started without setting this structure. And by the time they needed the structure, getting into a structure was really hard. Like if the property belongs to you personally, and now you discover that, oh, I'd rather have it in a two-layer LLC. Doing that transfer generates like tax events, and you had liability in the past. Like, I see a lot of people that regret not doing this from the start. So no, I don't regret it. I think I did the right thing.
Oh, good, good. Okay. That's great. Because for certain people who want, you know, I'm a very impatient person. So, you know, if I know, okay, gosh, I'm going to have to, that's why my wife is fantastic with handling a lot of the back end paperwork, whether it's setting up an umbrella insurance policy or whether it's dealing with all of the corporate structuring of our LLCs and all of that. So all of those additional pieces like end up becoming, you know, a layer of complexity, and it can dissuade a lot of people. People can just say, I'm just not going to do it because it's just too much work. I've seen it time and time again, but I, you know, I'm proud of you because you stuck with it. There were times when I thought maybe Pablo's not going to do this. I wanted to leave it up to you. I really wanted this to be your journey. I didn't want to step in while I was sort of helping you in this way. I didn't want to step in and start doing things for you, because I thought that that would have been disingenuous.
Yes, yes, I understand. And there were times where I thought I was going to give up as well. it comes and goes. It's the roller coaster. But to be honest, aside from opening the bank account, being a non-US person, the rest was very straightforward.
That's great. That's great. So setting up that process. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, there was one thing regarding opening the bank account, which I wish I learned earlier, which is you connected me with Howard to open the bank account in the US. Mm-hmm. I think their company is APM.
Yeah, exactly. And
they told me that they need to register the company in Michigan to be able to work with it.
Great. So yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces. I mean, obviously they're having to deal with the state, they're having to deal with, you know, different moving parts, but at the end of the day, they're able to finally get it done. So you know, where are you at with that process?
Yeah, I thought when they told me that they need to, I need to register the company in Michigan, I thought they meant opening a new company. So I wanted to keep my structure that I had with Provision Wealth. And I thought they were asking me to start over that process, and I didn't want to do it. But this is because I was ignorant of how the US works. It's just taking the company that you have in another state and registering that state so it can operate in that state. It's not creating a new company. So I thought it was a complex thing and I would have to start over. But no, it was a simple thing of sending some paperwork to the Michigan state to have that company recognized there.
That's great. That's great. So, all right. So now the next step, you said, hey, Clayton, I'm ready for my first property and let's go. And your private money lender has been very patient. I'm curious how that has unfolded while you were setting up all of this. And has he been asking you, hey, Pablo, where are we at with everything? I'd like to start making some good returns.
Yes, he has been very patient. He has not been pushing on me. But sadly, the amount of money available for me has been going down over time as he was doing odd things with the money. So I had that rush of I need to get this going.
That's great. All right. So now you're ready to take action and pick up that first property. So you said, okay, great. Let's line it up. We found you a great property. We started some new construction properties, which, you know, have a very high return and are also brand new. So we thought, okay, this would be a great property to, well, we started a batch of those properties. We nearly sold out of them. You grabbed one of them. And, you know, turnaround time on that is pretty quick. So permits approved by the city. It's, I think, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, roughly like 1,000-square-foot home. So I think that's the first one you're doing with us, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's different than... It's different to the original plan, so I had to go back and reanalyze it, and I really like it. I think from the numbers point of view, it's very similar. But something that struck me is when talking to other potential lenders and friends and so on, their attitude towards these new houses is much different. They like it much more.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, I certainly, the bulk of my portfolio or almost every property I own was built, you know, years ago, you know, and I've rehabbed them. And of course, you can, you know, you get the value in that, right? And I'm sure those houses will be there when I'm dead, right? They'll be there standing, performing for my children, right? That's the goal. But there's something very alluring for people with obviously having a brand new home, right, built from the ground up, and placing tenants that are going to be there for many years, guaranteed rent, all of those pieces, you know, guaranteed 2 years, 2 years rent. And the fact that it's, you know, it's brand new, we know down to the number of screws and nails that we're using on each of them.
Nice.
You know, so when we, when we're doing like 15 of them simultaneously, we're, you know, we're also able to buy, you know, 20, you know, 20 water heaters at the same time and, you know, and all of those things. So, you know, it keeps our costs down and we're able to keep a high ROI across the board. But at the same time, it's a brand new structure, which is great. It's just part of our overall strategy. It's not our complete strategy, but it's a nice piece of our overall strategy right now. So, so that's great. So, and what is the next step for you? So we've gone under, we're about to, I think, close on that one, right? And
so I signed the purchase agreement a couple of days ago. And now I'm talking with your team about setting up all the insurance that they need for this. And then we're going to close on the title on the 10th.
Great. Okay. So we close on the title on the 10th of August. And
yes,
it's just a few short days away. That is fantastic. And you'll be up and running with your first property. And the rehab or the construction on that won't take very long at all. And cash flowing. So now tell me on the private money side, what that looks like for you with your private money lender. When do you start, you know, having to perform for him? And what is the sort of, you don't have to go into all the details because that's private, but what sort of basic structure do you have with him as far as payback and all of that?
We are flexible because he wanted to track the loan in euros because he feels more comfortable with euros. Mm-hmm. So the payback from the dollar side point of view is going to change over time, depending on the value of the euro. Despite that, I think I'll be cash flowing around $300 per month from day zero, and it'll take me about 10 years to pay back the loan. I agree with him of no penalties if I pay it back early. So if I have some money and I want to just cancel the debt, I might do that at any point, and I think that might happen.
And by the way, he'd love that. I mean, here's the secret of private. You know, there's this thought process out there that he'd be upset that you're going to pay it back early. No, because if you're performing for him and he's now seen a great return in a short amount of time, you know, a year or 6 months or a year and a half versus the 10 years that you've agreed to, what do you think he's going to do with that money? He's going to, that additional money he has, he's going to come right back to you and say, Pablo, are you going to buy two more?
Yes, we already have a word agreement that at the end we'll do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that seriously, that's why. I mean, if he gets his money back and he sees a nice return, which you're promising him, which you'll get, he's going to be ready to go again. And that's the beauty of developing these relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, what are your goals, your broader goals? I know we talked about them on episode one, but what are your larger goals beyond just this first house that we close in a few days?
Reaching my freedom number, which is about 20 something houses. London is expensive. Now, if we move somewhere from here, that number goes down a lot. I just want to have the freedom to work in my own startup. Like some people want to travel. I like to sit down and build product without having to worry, where's the rent? Where's the how am I going to pay the bills the next month? So that's my goal.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. Well, Pablo, any final advice out there? Obviously, we can check back with you, you know, as you build this portfolio out. But I just want to say it's amazing for you first reaching out to me saying, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in the tech entrepreneur world. I don't have any experience. I don't have any money. I'm in the UK in the most expensive city in the world. And you've lined it all up. You've done all your homework. You've gotten everything lined up, bank accounts, LLCs, et cetera. And you're about to close on your first property. I mean, I couldn't be more proud. And, you know, to all of the people out there that say you can't do it, you're a testament to those people. So congrats on that, my friend.
Thank you very much. And yeah, that's all I have to say. If I can do it, you can do it. That's all.
And full transparency, I really didn't help you much. I mean, I kind of, you know, connected you with some members of our team a little bit, but for the most part, I gave you some action items and I said, you've got to go out there and line these things up yourself. And you did it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy. I'm happy to talk with anybody that sends me an email. I got a few emails. They were asking me, okay, what's going on? It's like, okay, hold on, just a little bit, hold on. But yeah, I'm happy to answer any questions and have private conversations about what I did, how I did it, and
that's great.
Help anybody that needs some help.
Well, that's what the show is all about, helping people take action and become a real estate investor. So Pablo, it's been my pleasure to have you here on the show. Congrats on your first property. Congrats on taking action and getting all of this lined up.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Clayton.
And thanks to all of you for listening and subscribing and following Pablo's journey over these many episodes. It's been a real treat. And I love all of your enthusiasm. I've gone to live events where people have come up to me and they're like, what's going on with Pablo? So I have said, just you wait. I know he's lining things up. He's not giving up. So it's been great to hear the resolution of this journey in a three-act play, so to speak. So, but thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing and going out there. I love that you're taking action and becoming a real estate investor. We'll see you back here next time on another episode, everyone. Until next time, much love.